Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring a trip to see Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, PA. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For details on this group event, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled The Great Showdown, God versus Man, from the book of Genesis. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God?
But we've been going back to the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis and looking at some things that are foundational to our being. And so we looked at the first week, atheism. Last week, we looked at the Big Bang. And today, we are going to dabble a little bit in the area of evolution. Now, this is a somewhat complex subject, but hopefully I'll be able to take it and present it in such a way where we can understand it. A lot of technical information, so I tried to really work hard to make the technical information simple, and hopefully as we go forward, we can see when it comes to the great showdown, God versus man, we see that God wins every time. So as we look at this today, as I've said always, and I didn't put it up this morning, but over the past couple of weeks, I've been putting up the list of subjects that we will be tackling. And one of the reasons that I put it up is so that you would know. And you can look at some of those subjects and tell that they are hot button issues in our society today. And some of you may not necessarily agree, and even today. I don't expect everybody that's here today to agree with the things that I'm going to say. But hopefully, and my intent is to stick right to the Word of God. So, we're going to see what God has to say, because really it don't make any difference what Pastor Glaze has to say. The key thing is we want to look at what does the Word of God say. Amen. There was a zookeeper who observed a monkey. And in one hand, the monkey had a Bible, and in the other hand, he had a copy of Darwin's book, Origin of the Species. And so the zookeeper wanted to know why the monkey was holding the Bible in one hand and Darwin's book, Origin of Species, in the other hand. And the monkey said, I just wanted to know if I was my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother. So, okay, y'all get that a little bit later. All right. I heard this poem explaining evolution. Once I was a tadpole grubbing in the mire, till I came ambitious and started to aspire. I rubbed my tail so vigorously against a sunken log, it disappeared completely, and I found myself a frog. I struggled from my puddle and jumped upon dry land, and feeling that it was in me was glorious and grand. It made me kind of frisky, so I hopped around a tree till I landed in the branches as happy as could be. And there I spent some eons evolving without fail till I became a monkey and grew another tail. But still I had ambitions as eons quickly sped, so I climbed down from the branches and walked the earth instead. Till my tail got tired with trailing on the hard earth every day, and twice within the process all my appendages passed away. Once again I evolved. And believe me if you can, I woke up one summer morning and found myself a man. So that's the poetic expression of evolution. So the bottom line is that, you know, evolution says that we came out of some primordial slime and we ended up today as intelligent people sitting at Bethany Baptist Church with suits, shirts, pants, dresses, and listening to the Word of God. Now, as we look at the origin of all things, we see that there are basically four views to the origin of all things. First of all, the first two are atheistic in the fact that they don't include God at all. The first one we see is evolution. And we all know that famous rendition of a monkey actually walking and becoming a man. And so that's evolution at its rawest form. And then we see that many evolutionists today are abandoning the theory of evolution because they realize that there's too many holes in evolution. And so they are abandoning it, but they're not going to the model of creation, but they are accepting a viewpoint that's called intelligent design. Because they realize that there has to be some intelligence behind the complexity in the things that we see around us. So they don't want to go as far as putting God in it, so they stop short, but they do acknowledge that there is intelligent design. And then the third view is a view that I call trying to help God out, right? Theistic evolution, because it says that God needed a little bit of help. And so God kind of got things jump-started, and then he kind of let evolution take over. So that's theistic evolution. And then we see there is the biblical model that hopefully many of us ascribe to in here, and that is the model of creation that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but all of the previous three, as I said earlier, it takes faith to believe those. And if I'm going to put my faith in something, I think I'm going to put it in something that is supported and backed up by God and his word. So let me, for a brief moment, talk about the theory of evolution. And again, you know, I spent a lot of time looking at this, and I tried to break it down as simple as I can. So hopefully you won't tune out on me. If you do, tune out for about 3 or 4 minutes, because then I'll be right back. You know, come on back. But Darwin's, and this is important, Darwin's theory of evolution was based upon his whole premise. You go back and study it, and those of you who have studied it, the survival of the fittest. That was the main premise that Darwin promoted, that those who are fit will be the ones that survive. And so he actually had about five components of his theory. The first component is what he called overpopulation. And basically what he was saying here is that each kind of animal, whether it's a monkey, a hippopotamus, a giraffe, whatever the case, that at some point in time that they had more than enough population, that there was an overpopulation. And so they could produce whatever it was that they needed to produce. So that the first idea was overpopulation. Now keep in mind, you're going to see a word that you see popping up, you know, produce and reproduce. All right, very important. Now, he had a second component, and this is what he called competition. Now, again, stay with me, because it's important. I'm leading you somewhere. He said with all this overpopulation, right, that there was competition, and that the competition was for living space and for food. And that over millions and billions of years, that some animals were able to compete for the food. You know, for instance, you look at the example there is the giraffe. Is that, you know, at one point, you know, giraffes, you know, were out here and they were competing for food. And as the giraffes grew and evolved, they were able to eat from the tree. But you'll notice there's a little body laying down there, right, in the second two diagrams. And so these are animals that could not compete. They could not compete for the living space, and they could not compete for the food. So what happened to them? They died, and they became what? Extinct. All right? So, you know, again, this is his theory.
We will take a short break from today's teaching.
Greetings, radio friends. Your cry has been heard. The 2018 Biblical Counseling Conference at Bethany Baptist Church. We will be using the Bible to deliver people from the distressing issues of life. This year, we are focusing on toxic relationships. The workshops at this conference will include identifying and recovering from an abusive relationship, counseling teens through troubling times, identifying toxic relationships and how to break free, dealing with toxicity in codependent relationships. All are welcome. This is just not for counselors or pastors. This is for the everyday layperson in the church. There is a early bird registration if you register before March 31st. For more information, visit us at www.bethanybaptist-pgh.org or call 412-246-4463 and mention workshops. We hope to see you there.
We will now return to today's teaching.
All right, going on to the next thing, we see genetic variation. And so what he's saying here is that over a period of time, that from a genetic standpoint, the genetics started to change. You see what I'm saying? That because they had to adapt to their environment, that their genetics started to change. And so as their genetics changed, guess what? They started doing what? Reproducing offspring after them. And so again, you know, the giraffe could eat high, and what happened? That he began to adapt to his environment. And so his neck began to what? Stretch and stretch. And that if your neck didn't stretch, if it didn't grow, then what happened? You became extinct. What again? Survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest. So here goes his next point, is adaptation. And he said Darwin's basic theory was that the reason giraffes have long legs is because it had to adapt to its environment and be able to run fast. The reason that it developed hooves was so that it could have weapons against its predator. The reason that it has a tail like it does is to swish away the pests, all right? And then the giraffe has tough lips. And the reason that it has tough lips is because it had to eat, you know, the thorny makeup of the branches. And so over time, its lips began to get tough. Now keep in mind, while the lips are getting tough, what's happening inside genetically? You know, it's being genetically modified, right? So now that it's beginning to produce more giraffes, whereas when they maybe first started producing, they didn't have tough lips. But because they were eating these hard things, their lips began to get hard. And so now, from a genetic standpoint, when they reproduce, then they reproduce animals or giraffes with long legs, with hoofs, with fringed tails, and then the long necks. Why did they get long necks? Well, basically, according to Darwin, they got long necks because it was the survival of the fittest, right? So if their necks didn't stretch, then, you know, they wouldn't be able to eat from the trees. Now, you know, all the time I'm thinking when I'm going through this, you know, you mean to tell me that the animals were not smart enough if they couldn't reach the tree, to go find some place where the food was on the ground. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. You know, I'm not a doctor. I play one on TV, but I'm not a doctor. Right? I mean, so that's just me. And then, you know, according to Darwin, you know, their tongues got longer in order for them to be able to tear the leaves up and to eat them. And so the last leg of Darwin's theory was natural selection. Okay, and we all have heard that term, natural selection. And basically what he said, the bottom line is that those that could not adapt to their environment, those that could not adapt to the things around them, eventually became extinct. And the only ones that survived were those that could adapt to the environment. And not only, watch this now, not only to adapt to the environment outwardly, but because they adapted to the environment outwardly, guess what was happening inside? Genetically, they were being modified also. It takes a whole lot of faith to believe what I just explained. It takes a whole lot of faith. And the fact of the matter is that this is what's being taught to your kids and your grandkids. What I just explained, this is exactly what they're being taught. And so, you know, again, well, let me go on because, let me just go on. All right. Now, a couple things about Darwin. First of all, Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species. Now, you don't see this, but you know what the subtitle of his book was? And you go look it up. The subtitle of his book, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Wow. Now, in his book, Origin of Species, he didn't talk a lot about humans, but he wrote another book, The Descent of Man, where he applied this theory that only what? The strong survive. That's the whole basis. The strong survive and they reproduce. That's the whole basis of Darwin's theory. The strong survive and they reproduce. All right? I told you I was going somewhere, right? Told you I was going somewhere. He believed that the lower race of the black man, would go extinct. He said this, at some future period, not very distant, the civilized races of man, now that was the Caucasians, according to him, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace. Think back with me to 1940-something, when there was a man in Germany, and he was trying to create a super race, and he started with the Jews and the gypsies, but he was coming after blacks and everybody else, right? All right? So guess who he read? Guess who he was a quote-unquote disciple of? Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin. So he began to accept Darwin's philosophy. And so he went on to say that they will exterminate and replace the savage races. And what? Notice, going back to his theory that I shared with you, right? As a part of the process of evolution by what? Natural selection. Natural selection. That eventually the so-called Negro would wean himself, and if he didn't wean himself and become extinct, that, you know, he would be exterminated. And, you know, when you think about this, you know, Darwin has been dead hundreds of years, and we still here. We still here, right? But if that didn't get you, look at this one right here. Darwin made a reference to the future extinction of savage races. So he said in this quote that the difference between the Caucasian and the, he used the term, let's see, he used the term ape. He said that it was like it wasn't too far apart, because in between what you had was the Negro, the Australian, and when he says Australian, he's talking about the pygmies, and the baboon. So he put the Negro, the Australian, and the baboon in the same category. And he said, when the Negro, the Australian, and the baboon become extinct, then the distance between the Caucasian and the ape will widen. And this is what our kids are being taught. This is what we're forced, and I don't know about you, but growing up, forced to sit down and have to listen and study this nonsense, right? Instead of just believing. Now, see, again, I'm gonna make this comment. I've said it before. You know, I don't see how any black person could believe in evolution. Because according to Darwin, at this point, you shouldn't even be around. So that shows you right there that there's some serious holes in this philosophy. All right? And so as we move on, you know, now I've heard this. Okay, I've heard this. Man, if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Pastor, I believe that creation and science can work together. And I believe that too. I believe that, as a matter of fact, I believe that good science, and what is the definition of science? Knowledge. So I believe that science and knowledge works together. But notice, when the evolutionists say science, they're not talking about science, they're talking about evolution. And so what this person is trying to tell me, well, I believe that creation is compatible with science. Well, yeah, I believe that too, because I believe everything that's scientifically proven, you know, will support, you know, God's model of creation. And so, you know, but if you're telling me that you can be a creationist and you can believe in evolution, I'm telling you can't. It's absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible, simply because of what the scripture says. First of all, naturalistic. Man and evolution says that natural chance accounts for all things. The Bible says, no, it's supernatural, that God is the personal creator of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Two are incompatible. Secondly, and again, if somebody can ever explain this to me, man, I watch Bill Nye. I was watching Bill, and I've said, Bill Nye, the science guy, maybe he could explain it. Nobody can explain this. How in the world can you get life out of non-life? It's scientifically impossible to do. And so I'd rather just go ahead and believe that there is a God who is eternal life himself, and that this God who is eternal life gave life to everything else. It's a whole lot less complicated, man, for me to believe this. And not that I need to be it less complicated. I just need to be a fact. I just need to be true. But, you know, the evolution, man, you got to put faith in a lot of different things happening. And the chance, you know, evolution is all chance. And you got to put faith in chance. Well, let me move on. The current status. According to evolution, all things are progressively evolving. Well, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created in the heavens and earth, and then he explained how he did it, and then he put a period on it and said, done.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Did Man Evolve or Was He Created by God? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed by the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.